You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Caudette. Yesterday, an extremist carried a Confederate flag, a symbol of hate, as well as the Confederacy, in the halls of the Capitol, even during the Civil War. This did not happen. That visual came after right-wing extremists stormed the U.S. Capitol building, breaking windows and doors, fighting with Capitol Police in order to enter the building. It is a sad and solemn day that will stay with Americans for so many years. But Americans aren't the only ones trying to absorb the events of yesterday. The eyes of the world were upon all of us. And while our allies reacted with sadness and shock, some fear that our adversaries were handed a gift of hypocrisy, who have for years heard about the strength of American democracy. Joining us now to talk about this is Stephen Feldstein, Senior Fellow with the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace in Washington, D.C. Stephen, it's good to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So what is your reaction to what we experienced yesterday?
Yeah, well, I think like many like your prior guests, you know, shock, dismay, and sadness, you know, in terms of seeing a spectacle I never expected I'd ever see in my lifetime. You know, just the symbolism of the flags and the mobs and the violence that took place in, you know, in a place that I have actually spent close to 5 years working in. Was just really dismaying and has, you know, it's still something that I'm trying to process myself.
Stephen, to be blunt, do you believe our democracy is broken after what we saw yesterday?
Well, we certainly have some serious deficiencies that we have deliberately neglected to address. You know, I don't know that I would go as far as to say our democracy is completely shattered or broken. You know, I think, you know, the small glimmer of hope we can take away from this is that at the end of the day, the institutions, while frayed, have held, and that, you know, we are moving ahead as expeditiously as possible towards President-elect Biden's inauguration. So I think that's something we can at least partially hold on to. But, you know, the questions that I think are stay with us in the midst of this type of mob violence and the run-up to it, you know, the last few months of, you know, baseless allegations of election fraud, huge parts of the electorate refusing to accept the outcome of the election. I mean, these are all challenges that aren't going away and ones that we have to take very seriously.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen our world leaders react in various ways over the last 24 hours. I mean, our allies, as I mentioned, mostly reacted with shock and with sadness, and they condemned the violence. But Stephen, how do you think our adversaries are feeling right now?
Well, I'm sure there's a bit of smugness, if not satisfaction. I think partially because, you know, the way the U.S. has tried to differentiate itself between adversaries, competitors like China and Russia is to say, you know, what makes us different is that we have values that we respect, that we, you know, listen to the voices of those who are marginalized, that everyone has an equal say, and that while we're not perfect, we strive towards that ideal. And really, it's hard to make the argument that we are at all close to living up to those values and that ideal after the events of yesterday. And so it really, sadly, brings us much closer and much further down to that level of authoritarianism, that level of dysfunction that other countries have witnessed in a much more regular way.
So we know that President-elect Biden doesn't take office for another 2 weeks. I'm curious about how you would characterize the danger that we face right now with our democracy. Danger posed, frankly, either from extremists in our own country, like we saw yesterday, or potentially foes who are perhaps looking at us and seeing a vulnerable moment and potentially wanting to take advantage of that.
Sure. I think I would look at two or three pretty immediate points of vulnerability. So one, there's, you know, the social polarization and unrest that we saw. To think that what happened yesterday is a one-off and that we're now going back to a point period of stability, I think really is does not reflect the reality of what we're living through. And so the potential for more violent protests, whether it's in Washington, whether it's in other in state capitals, I think is very real. I think second, there's a big unknown in terms of the mental state insanity of President Trump. You know, we have 13 more days, and if the 25th Amendment isn't invoked, which most likely probably won't be, and you know, people have talked about impeachment. I think that's probably a remote scenario as well. We have someone who, you know, has actively incited violence, who also is in possession of the nuclear codes and is our commander in chief for the next 13 days. And that to me is a really scary situation. And then third, as you also alluded to, is that, you know, adversaries are taking note of the disorganization and fragmentation that we're seeing. When we see, you know, different national security officials resigning en masse and just the total layer of dysfunction that's enveloping, why wouldn't a rogue actor like an Iran or someone else look for an opportunity to create trouble? So those are things that I would sort of view as disturbing trends that potentially could arise.
Have we lost our credibility when it comes to talking about things like human rights and democracy around the world?
Our credibility is damaged. You know, again, I think over time, with a lot of hard work, it can be renovated, it can be restored. But you can't just say that you want to restore it and have that be the end word. You can't simply, you know, inaugurate a new president and without dealing in a real accountable way with everything that we've seen happen, not only in the last few weeks, but over the last 4 years. You know, in order to restore credibility, to get past this damage, I think we have to ask serious questions of our politicians and of those in particular who have enabled the rise of Trumpism. And we also have to ask whether this is the beginning of the end or the beginning of a new struggle of right. political polarization. And I don't think we're out of the woods at all at this point.
Two more questions for you. The first is this. How should President-elect Biden and Congress restore faith in our democracy? Or frankly, can they in two years, if you look at the transfer of power with the Democrats now holding both the Senate and the House?
Yeah. Well, there are no easy answers, but I think there's sort of two aspects that are important. You know, one, I think, is that, you know, and this is something that Biden has been really upfront about, is being a unifier. Instead of speaking to one part of the electorate, we've got to find a way to work across the aisle, work across our polarization, and bring in a big tent style of governance. That's exceptionally important and very different from what we've seen in the last 4 years. But I think the second thing we also need is accountability. I don't think we can just walk away from what happened, brush it under the rug and say, well, that was Trump and now we're in a new era. We need real accountability. Why did this happen? Who were the perpetrators? How are we going to ensure that the rule of law is upheld and respected? Those two aspects together, I think, are a necessary first steps to get us back to where we need to go.
I think it's incredibly simple to say that it's been a dark 24 hours. But with that, is there anything that you are hopeful about? I mean, you are in Washington, D.C. now, living and working. I mean, this is difficult to get past and to see maybe light in these cracks.
Yeah, no, there are many things I'm hopeful about. I mean, in addition to President Biden assuming office in the near future, you know, I actually woke up very hopeful yesterday morning, seeing the results of the Georgia Senate elections. And, you know, the fact is, you know, I think there is a real opportunity to bring some change, to bring back the type of policies that are needed to restore this country where it needs to go. And that there have been some important voices, even from Republicans, who I think want to see a break. People like Senator Mitt Romney in particular have really been outspoken in terms of trying to repudiate the actions of Trump and his allies. So I think we have to build on those. I don't think we can only wallow in terms of the negative actions that we've seen in the past 24 hours. I think we have to hold on to what is necessary to bring change and reform. But we also have to be realistic that it's going to be a hard road. And where we're coming from right now is in a really bad, bad place.
I want to thank you so much for your perspective, Stephen. We've been talking about the state of our democracy in light of the insurrection in our nation's capital yesterday. Stephen Feldstein was our guest this segment, senior fellow of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. Thanks again for being on the program.
Thanks for having me on.
More Idaho Matters next.